the station of the stars. RTI.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. The alternative news show with myself, Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks in the UK, Mark Gander in Gay Paris.
Where are we?
We're on cookies.
Oh, all right.
We're on cookies. Can I have some milk with the cookies, please?
Exactly.
Now, this is a new law that's coming in, and it's part of a European-wide law as well, that websites must seek consent from this week with their cookies. And it's a very, very complex issue, and I'm not going to try and even explain the entire thing here, but if you want to know in depth about it, go to the Information Commissioner's Office. It's called the ICO. They are online. Google them, you'll find them. And basically, it's to stop people doing naughty things with your data. And let me give you a perfect example. Anybody that's registered a comment or complaint with Yahoo Questions and Answers will receive an email back from Yahoo. I don't know if have you ever done this, Mark?
No.
Right. Well, what you see on there is your original question. It also gives you your electronic signature, which is probably your name.
Right. Yes, I have, but not with Yahoo.
Right. And it also then goes on to list all this data about your IP address, da-di-da-di-da, and it includes in there the last website you went to from your browser.
Yeah.
Now, Yahoo have now got all that data via a cookie that does it. And what they're proposing is that if you have these devices on your website, you should make it perfectly clear to the person that's visiting your site that these cookies operate. And make sure it's in plain language, I think, more is the truth on the matter. And it's to stop people tracking browser habits, because people are making a lot of money out of this, huge amounts of money, on databasing where Lee's been on the
internet.
Why,
where I've been? Why not where somebody else has been?
Well, I don't go anywhere on the internet at all.
Eh?
Not personally, no.
Using private proxies or something.
Yeah, no comment. So it's all good fun, unless I have a nice open thing where I'm checking stuff out for other people.
Can I just comment on this?
Yes.
I think that, as we've just discussed on the first half, Mr. Tuggy's hat on, or whatever he's called, the judge who said that ye shall be sinned against if ye shall sin.
Yes.
Right? Here, we have the opposite to it, where finally we are seeing a sea swell towards the protection of people's privacy. This is one of the most fantastic things, something that I personally, through RTI, and in tacit term ways, you two have also campaigned for people to get some protection for their privacy back. What a brilliant thing, and it took Europe to do it.
I'm not saying protection necessarily the same way as you. I think you should be given the choice of whether or not...
Freedom of choice.
And if you want to go onto these sites, it's exactly the same as Facebook. You have a freedom of choice if you put your pictures up there. You can't... Ooh. My phone number's not on Facebook.
No, of course it isn't.
Not at all.
Some people's are, though.
But that's up to them. I choose not to put my mobile phone on Facebook.
People do it by innocently, though. They don't realise what they're holding themselves...
That's my point. So with these new guidelines, it's explaining to customers who don't know what this little internet thing does, and it's nothing to do with dipping your milk in them. It's a cookie is for, you know, tracking you. And it just is a way of explaining to the consumer in plain language what the thing does, and telling you also that the site you're visiting is actually going to do this sort of trick. Now, I think that's a good education process, and I think that's what's needed and is needed more often.
And it is, finally, it is one small step for mankind in the right direction towards controlling the internet. Well, which is out of control.
No, it's not controlling it, Lee. It's educating people.
It's one thought, which is control. Education is control. Education cannot be anything else. People say education expands the mind. It does, but it also gives society an element of control. And this is an element of control against the internet. It's one small step, but it's in the right direction.
Mark?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a good idea. What worries me, of course, is that if people then become accustomed to getting these windows that pop up and say, do you agree to accept cookies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which I do think is a very good idea, what's to stop the bad people managing to get their cookies in without these windows popping up? But then users will have a false sense of security, and they'll So I'm actually wondering whether it will really make any big difference in respect of all the spammers and the hackers out there.
Well, the interesting thing is that the government in the UK, via the Information Commission Office, is launching a tool for the public to use to report non-compliant sites. Yeah. So basically the public are becoming, you know, special constables, as the police use, within the internet fraternity, to actually say, hang on a minute, I don't think this site's operating correctly. Yeah. But what they have done, which I think is sensible, is the IOC have also said, look, we're not going to jump on every business who probably doesn't understand the law anyway. Mm. We're going to give you a kind of little honeymoon period and talk to you so that we can get the site's compliance rather than just sort of having a go at everybody.
Yeah. Can I say in respect of that, the honeymoon period actually has already happened. It was 1 year, I saw that it was reported today. They reckon that most businesses have not complied with this honeymoon period at all, and almost everybody is going to be in breach. And I'm afraid to say that the Consumer Action Group, I think that we're likely to be in breach. And it's something that I'm sorting out as we speak. Mm. So,
well, if you're in breach of it, you would have done that innocently. You would not have done that deliberately. And a lot of these things do it deliberately. Oh, well, maybe you did then. Maybe there's a revelation.
We didn't do it deliberately. But still, you know, we're not giving people this choice. Mm. I mean, we're a very, very benevolent site, and we don't use it for tracking or commercial purposes. But I'm sure that we're bound by the regulations. I think actually that this scheme is only going to work when eventually the browser suppliers, and that means, you know, Mozilla and Opera and Microsoft and Google and this sort of thing, put something in their browsers which detect whether a site is complying, and if it isn't complying, then they simply refuse to connect to it. But will the browser suppliers
them a lot of dosh?
No. You can actually... Well, Mark, to be honest...
It lost revenue. Why wouldn't this cost
Hold on a minute, Mark. What the consumer... Let's help the consumer here. There are tools that you can plug in to browsers, including Microsoft and everybody else, which are cookie blockers.
Yeah.
And you can switch them on. And if you're not sure of doing this, as I always say, ask a teenager, they'll tell you, and switch your cookies off. Where there becomes a problem is some sites don't allow you on unless your cookies are switched on.
It can be very, very inconvenient. And I'm afraid your granny and that lot, you know, are not going to be able to cope with that. It has to be something pretty simple.
Mm, indeed. But I think, you know, it's a good education step, and I welcome it immensely. Yes. Moving on to the Metropolitan Police, who seem to be getting themselves in hot water.
Well, I think this is, again, we seem to be bouncing. It's like a roller coaster ride about privacy and everything else this week, and so quite rightly it should be. While Sideshow Bobette and Rupert the Bear are getting all this trouble about phone tapping and stuff like that.
Lee, can I just stop you there for a minute? Because nobody understands what the hell you're saying when you say Sideshow Bobette and Rupert the Bear.
She looks just like Sideshow Bob out of the things.
Who?
Rebecca.
Oh, Rebecca Brooksy Wooksy.
Yeah, she looks just like Sideshow Bob out of the Simpsons.
Well, I didn't. I'm sure you're with me, boys and girls. None of us understood a word.
Rupert Bear, not Rupert the Bear. I'm sorry if I'm too red top sometimes for you. Anyway, listen.
Right.
The Metropolitan... I can't even talk now.
Well, the Metropolitan Police have been found to have not deleted all sorts of records of conversations which they received as a result of phone tapping. But it turns out the people will be innocent. And by coincidence, we've also now discovered that the police have also been hanging on to a huge number of body parts. Back, I'm afraid that there was the brain of some child that was in a jar from 1960, and the police aren't able to explain why they're still hanging on to
it.
And they're still interrogating it.
Hold on a minute, you two.
Just a cotton picking.
Just a cotton picking minute, you two. What concerns me about this, and I agree that the Metropolitan Police shouldn't be doing this in the circumstances they're doing it, because it is definitely a breach of the Human Rights Directive.
Of course it is.
It's not a possible breach. In my opinion, it is a breach of the Human Rights Directive. But what worries me is if the bad guys then pick up on this and go, oh, Mr. Policeman, you cannot touch my mobile phone. I'm not going to let you do it, when all the numbers of the bombers are in there.
But there's always an upside and a downside to things that are right. This, what?
All right, then. You go onto a plane that hasn't had any scanning done on it for bombs and terrorists and stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will get my point out in a minute. And I don't mean that in a Bobette way.
Go on, then.
Thank goodness this is radio.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that this is the paucity of the police force. They have been there watching people be pulled apart for doing what is classed as phone hacking. For whatever reason, I'm not defending that at all, but they covertly have been doing the same thing. And what is bad about this is not the fact that they've extracted mobile phone data from people who've been taken into custody. If you've committed a crime, then fine, that's fine. But they will hang on to, or have been hanging on to, that data behind people's backs when those people have been proved to be innocent. What are they doing? They are building up this incredible secret database about community.
That's what we need to know. I mean, really, isn't it? I mean, need to find out whether this is a matter of policy or just sheer inefficiency. And if it's inefficiency, then it should be condemned. And if it's policy, then really it ought to be discussed in Parliament and there ought to be a national scandal about it.
So what are we saying? Just a
breach too far.
Right, just a minute. Woo, woo, woo.
Did you hear that?
Breach too far. Yes, thank you. What doesn't worry me at all. This is quite interesting. So if it's wrong for the police to take such data without telling people, then surely it's got to be the same rules for everybody else.
Including the press.
Yeah, including the press.
Including the press and including Google and including Facebook and including the internet, including everybody. Nobody should have this covert way of collecting your information.
Absolutely.
So the difference between the press and the police simple, that the press, if they did this and found out that they were wrong, they'd get rid of it.
The fact with the internet, which you love to hate, is if you look at the terms...
Probably like barcating the Parisians.
Yes. If you look at the terms and conditions you sign up to, because you sign up to them when you go
sign up to them, but you don't read them.
That's your fault. That's your fault.
Of course it is, but it's still a policy. It's your fault if you don't read them. But there is the simple fact that everybody knows that nobody reads them, so something should be done about that as well. Should be made simpler. Why do you want to plough through? All you want to do is go and find out your mother's maiden name in 1893, or go and look at some naked
dancing
on a rooftop, and things like that. And all of a sudden, you've got to go through all this legal jargon, reams and reams of it, and it says decline or accept. So you say, oh, stuff, and you just accept it.
Yeah.
That, again, is enticement. That's drawing people in.
That's because, everybody's quite happy to take something for nothing and just tick the box.
That's right. So it's all a con.
No, the consumer, if he wants to pay for it, or she wants to pay for it, they can control what cookies are around. Well, if they don't want to pay for it and they want the service, tough.
When you had internet links that you had to pay as you went, I've forgotten what it's called now, but you had to pay through your phone. You still did. I accept anything. I accept throwing my life away.
But still did. No different. Right, moving along. More than 4 in 10 young women in London sexually harassed over the last year. A new YouGov survey for the End of Violence Against Women Coalition was published today. Reveals a staggering 43% of young women in London aged 18 to 34 experienced sexual harassment. What it doesn't say and what concerns me is what is considered sexual harassment. Is a wolf whistle, which I can't do properly, but like that, is that sexual harassment? Because some people are saying it is.
That's a very good point. And actually, yes, that would be considered, could be considered to be sexual harassment if somebody actually complained about it.
Yeah.
And if, as a man, as a gorgeously handsome man,
thank you,
as I'm walking down the street, and as it happens to me, women wolf whistle at me all the time, I have never complained about being wolf whistle.
And
I bet you, I'm afraid that if it was an experience that you were having daily or even hourly...
I do. When I go out, that's why I don't go out very much.
Well, I really think this is something that's worth taking seriously, actually. And you know, I think that wolf whistles and that kind of thing, I think any kind of behaviour that really is not meted out to men but is meted out to women in this way, I think could be amount to...
Mark's phone.
My phone's going.
You don't wolf whistle at me.
And apparently there's a lack of research on the... topic in question, and what worries me there is that, and I'm not suggesting this is the case, but you know, some associations, some organizations live off of financial reward from research funded by all these different places, and I'm just so nervous that this is one of those. It worries me.
It's a good point, but going back to what Mark's just said, and I agree with him that things like that, that's his girlfriend phoning up now. But there is again a seaswell against what Mark said. The women of this world, particularly the younger women, have become more predatory and do actually make sexual overtures to men and as men used to make to them. This is a sea change in the way that the world is progressing. Women are not the little wilting violets that they used to be. Women are Boadicean Amazonian creatures who are quite happy to approach men.
I wonder what country. What country is it?
These are dreams of some middle-aged person. Sorry, Lee. But I
was going to say, what country is that then?
And listen, we may be in the middle of a sea change, and maybe in 100 years' time, but we're still, if there is any change going on. And I'm sure that it is at the moment sort of in transition. And I think a lot of people find it offensive. And I have to say, you know, what on earth are these guys?
We can all be offended by
anything. Have they got nothing better to do than to start yelling and shouting and jeering, you know, while they're hanging off scaffolding like bloody baboons? Let's try this, and you can comment on the Facebook page for us, girls.
Are you offended? Come on, some of the girls out there can reply to this, I'm sure. Are you offended when a gentleman wolf whistles at you, doing that whistle I can't do again?
I don't think that's the question. Please excuse me.
Go on.
All right. Are you offended by having a particular man wolf whistling at you? I don't think it's the right question. Are you offended by being subject to this constantly every day when you go out? You know, does it become tiring and does it become unwelcome? I think that's a really, you know, I think you've got to talk about the degree of it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Can I put the question in a different way then?
Go on then.
Do women actually find it as a compliment? There are certain degrees of sexual harassment which are horrendous, and those are the things that really we should be taking seriously.
Sure.
But does the fact that you, as a young lady, are walking down the street in a summer dress, and it elicits a wolf whistle off a chap who happens to be walking past, or a baboon hanging off a scaffolding, is that not just a compliment towards the pleasure that you physically have given, aurally, meaning the eye, aurally, to this chap?
Yeah. Are they chaps or chavs or yobs?
Good question.
I don't think they're chaps, actually.
All right. Let's move on, boys and girls, because we've got a few more to get in and we haven't got much time left. Olympic fortunes to be made, but Lee says it's just a game.
Well, it is just a game, isn't it? When you think, like I said last week, all it is a load of people running around in shorts and pumps, jumping and diving and swimming and stuff like that, and everybody's making a fortune out of it. We were talking about the bloke who, I can't remember his name, but the one who's sold his tickets and got himself in trouble. But worse than that is that people now who have been given, who become torchbearers across England, and now, thank you very much, telling the world that I've got a vast. Anyway, yeah, that the Olympic torchbearers are selling their torches on eBay.
And?
They cost under, Well, they cost £199.
They have to pay them. They have to buy them, yeah.
Yeah, they have to buy them. And somebody's put one on for 150 grand. Yeah. What? It was supposed to be an honour to carry a torch across England to mark the fact that the Olympic Games were taking place. And people are selling them. I think it is decent.
And what's she doing with the money then, oh, Mr. Prudish over it?
So she says that she's actually going to open a home for decrepit old baboons who've fallen off scaffolding and
things like that. Yeah, what's she going to do? Come on, Mr. Banks. High and mighty.
I don't know what she's doing, but she's opening a home for people and things and stuff like that, so she says.
By doing so, she will secure the future of a community gardening project which would otherwise struggle for funding.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Why shouldn't people get the benefit of the Olympics in any way they want? I mean, there are all sorts of huge businesses which are doing very, very well. Thank you very, very much
because
indeed
it's
from the Olympics.
Because it's cynical.
What's cynical? There's nothing cynical about it at all.
The whole idea of the Olympics is...
She didn't even carry it. She just sold it. That's cynical.
Lee, I can tell you for fact... Thousands upon thousands of people in not just in London, in other parts of the UK, have gained employment because the Olympics and the Paralympics are going to the UK.
You mean they've gained employment? That's cynical.
Yes, absolutely. How cynical could that be?
That's
cynical. That's cynical. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
And not only that.
All.
Not only
the
that.
The people that sell hamburgers in there and beef burgers, they're going to gain employment.
Well, I think they betrayed the values of the ancient Greeks.
Exactly. Which was actually came from just around the corner from me, if you remember, from where in Shropshire, where I come from.
It shouldn't be hamburgers, it should be Donners, shouldn't it?
Let's let Mark have a rant now. Because
yeah, rant,
I was horrified by this story, which is everywhere. The HSBC with the latest firm to face a shareholder vote on executive pay. Now, the headline everywhere is HSBC shareholders to vote on executive pay.
Yeah.
Now, hang on a minute. They're not executives in the true sense of the word. They are employees. Yeah. They are senior employees, and they have to respond to their shareholders, who are their boss.
Mark, I'm going to hold my peace.
Because in my world, if you are part of a banking system that has shareholders, it's open to the public, they can go to the AGM and they are the bosses. Everything seems to be pushing towards the senior executives of the bosses, hence the vote on bosses' pay, which has been a headline everywhere. They're not the boss. The shareholders are the boss.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right, isn't it? But, I mean, so long now we've had a culture of really the shareholders just being... And in fact, really, I mean, do shareholders really consider themselves as the owners of the company? They don't. They're just somebody that had a little punt and they're hoping to get a little bit something out of it. And they don't consider themselves as bosses. And what we're starting to have now is because of the disgraceful way that many of these companies have performed because of the way that their executive boards have acted. Now, suddenly, we're getting the shareholders to come around and say, well, just a minute, you know, all these nice big fat pay rises that you're giving yourself and these bonuses that you're awarding yourself and these perks you're awarding yourself, what have you actually done to deserve it? We're now going to come here and we're actually going to exercise our sort of proprietary rights and do something about it. Jolly good. Mm-hmm. I hope that these boards start to become a bit frightened of shareholders.
Exactly.
And I hope shareholders become emboldened and stop dealing and just allowing this stuff to happen. I hope they really decide to get stuck in.
Right, and I would like to harp back to the beginning of the programme when we spoke about the campaign to save BBC Local Radio, where we have a Facebook page called BBC We Say No. And on this subject of HSBC, I say, recent research carried out for the BBC by Manifest, the investor voting advisory service, found that the typical pay of bosses at the majority of the UK's largest publicly listed companies rose 11% last year to £3.65 million. Yeah. Now, who paid for that ruddy research? The BBC.
Oh, yeah.
So we've had the BBC funding research about banks, rebuilding their websites, but they can't afford local radio. I despair. I absolutely despair. Moving along,
Can I just interject there, yes. though, very quickly, to use the phrase that I've used at my phrase of the week, which is the sea swell and the sea change of things. This is a sea swell and sea change in the attitudes of people towards the executives. If you think Trinity Myria, Premier Foods, William Hill, Mirror Group newspaper, everybody has been, Aviva, they've all been hit by the shareholders' anger about the pay levels of executives.
Absolutely. And one thing that Mark was campaigning for vividly, vivaciously in the last few weeks is payday loan companies.
Yeah,
and it looks like you're getting somewhere, Mark.
Well, I'd like to say that it was all because of the Consumer Action Group, but unfortunately it's probably not. The real
I've seen the campaign-esque that you're running on the Consumer Action Group. I've listened to you on here, and it has to be said that if things like that happen, people in authority, whether they do it for the glory or whether they do it for the good side of it, we'll pick up on things like that. So I'm going to give you a little round of applause for all your efforts.
And I am as well.
Yes, there you go.
Well, thank you, my two fans. Thank you very much indeed. But I think that the real reason that these people are starting to attract regulatory attention is because of their own behaviour. They've done it to themselves. And now we find that they don't like it up them. The payday loan industry, I suppose that maybe it's necessary, but it's very nasty. They will lend to anybody. Yeah, they do it recklessly.
4,000% though.
And huge percentages, but the most important thing is that where, and believe me, I'm no fan of the banks, but where the banks also are lending at exorbitant rates, the banks eventually will stop and say, well, no, you've had enough, we don't think you can manage it. These payday loans will say, we don't care whether you manage it or not, we'll just keep lending you and lending you and lending you, and then we'll get seriously very, very nasty. And the way they sell these loans...
Is that right? They can carry on lending willy-nilly, whether you can afford it or not. I didn't realise there was no regulation about that.
There's nothing to stop them.
Gentlemen, we've
got... completely unregulated, and they need serious attention. I don't know why it's taking so long.
Right, we've got 90 seconds, gentlemen, to go into the silly story of the week. Eurovision is for dead people. Spain's finances are so bad, the entry to Eurovision has been told, don't win, please, we can't afford it.
I think that is the story of the week, that Spain said, for God's sake, don't win the Eurovision, we'll go bankrupt.
If you do. Secondly, Jedward have made it through to the Eurovision Song Contest final for a second time. Yeah. Last night, Slovakia, which actually ran with a modern rock track for young people, with a bloke singing it who had to sell his car to raise the money to go to the Eurovision himself.
That's one of the stories, the unheralded stories of the Eurovision. That
absolutely
should be made worldwide.
Absolutely. Well, I'm doing my best. He went out there, and I tell you what, if Guns N' Roses need a support act, there's your act. They were brilliant, didn't get any votes.
The support.
Bulgaria was sent home for a modern track. And which would have got into the top 40 if it had been released. And all I can say is, where are these people voting from? The grave?
Well, exactly. And what we got, a geriatric old Engelbert Humperflink, who's there 76 years old.
And will probably win.
And he's our presentation to young people's music.
This is RTI, Radio Tatras International.